few years back, there was a very popular sitcom called Cheers. If you remember, it took place in a Boston bar. Sam Malone was the bartender. And people would usually, with great regularity, kind of watch what would happen in the bar with all the characters who were there. I remember one particular episode where Sam was starting to feel guilty about his dalliances, his indiscretions. So Carla, the bard maid, suggests he go talk to her priest. And of course, then the comedic episode where Sam starts talking to the priest and talking about his indiscretions. And obviously, it's almost like a confessional type of situation. Coming back to the bar, Sam was pursuing Carla and says, now, Carla, this priest obviously gave him a penance and says, this priest said, now, each one of these beads, you have to say a prayer on each one of these beads. Look at all of these beads on this thing. And Carla looked at him and said, hey, Sam, this ain't no wimp religion. This ain't no wimp religion. I love that. I was very, very proud that that statement was made, even if it was made in a comedic situation, comedy occurrence. It goes to the very heart of what we believe to be the true spirit of Christianity. This ain't no wimp religion. So religion where the Son of God comes into the earth and is crucified for our sake, literally giving himself over as sacrifice. Here in this passage today that we're looking at, Jesus responds to a question. Will only a few be saved? He doesn't say, yes, only a few will be saved. Instead, he gives a retort by saying, go through the narrow gate. And I believe that's probably a warning for not only the disciples of that time, but for the rest of us to heed well our commitment to the person of Jesus Christ. To heed well our commitment to the person of Jesus Christ by literally living our Christian life in the way we basically are challenged. What is the key to the gate? What is the key to the gate? You know, in this day and age, we're losing our sense of keys. You know that. Everything's going digital. Everything's going electronic. Now cars have fobs, that suddenly you just put your foot on the brake and you touch a button and the car starts, but there's no longer kind of a key that you insert any longer. Well, the key to the narrow gate is a person. And that's the person of Jesus. And that narrow gate leads to Jerusalem and the cross and suffering. So in everyone's life, the suffering that we encounter here and now is joined together to that suffering of Jesus. When we separate our lives from that of the divine, from the spiritual, we do damage to ourselves. And then we begin to listen to the voices of the world rather than listening to the voices of God and faith. In this day and age, you show me a religious commentator program. For the most part, even our secular commentators, where in their sense and their presentation, everybody's going to heaven. They talk about it as if it's second nature. Everybody's going to heaven. So it almost doesn't matter what type of life you lead here on earth. You're going to heaven anyway. I don't think this passage says that. I think this passage respects us. It says you've been given free will. And now I'm going to give you a relationship with Christ, and I'm going to show you in and through that relationship the way, the truth, the life. in that relationship, I'm going to offer to you an ability to understand what it means to be united to the Son of God in this world. We as Christians stand on the shoulders of those individuals who have gone before us living that commitment to Jesus. The martyrs, the teachers, the virgins, whose lives were examples of a total commitment to Christ. I say we live on their shoulders because we sometimes fail to realize that we are given those same challenges in whatever we face in our own lives. We are given those same challenges. You know, obviously we're in a political spectrum now in this year, and we hear politicians going back and forth with one another, and one of the constant themes that you'll hear from the politicians is, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Are you better off today than you were 12 years ago, than 20 years ago? I'd offer to you that the same thing could be said, really, more so of Christianity. Is our faith manifest more? Is our Christianity manifest more than it has been 10 years ago, 4 years ago, a year ago? And do we hold ourselves accountable and responsible for that witness? The beauty of Christianity and the beauty of the teaching of the church is that we are called as individuals to fulfill our responsibility before God in the faith that is given to us as gift. But part of that responsibility is our ability to lay down our lives for others. Carla is right. This is now a wimp religion. This is a religion that challenges us to love your enemies. Do good to those who would harm you. Oh my gosh. This is a religion that says if someone asks to go a mile, go two. This is a religion that calls us to go beyond the expectations of the world and the view of the world, and calls us and embeds us in a view of the divine. There was once a wonderful preacher who offered in terms of the text that there was a very wealthy woman who led her life very well off and well healed. She had a huge home here on earth. She had all servants and everybody taking care of her. And she dies and she goes before God. And all of a sudden the gates open up and she's allowed to go to heaven. And she is taken by the angel of God to her now eternal dwelling. And as she passes by, she sees these huge mansions on either side of her. So she is smiling, thinking about the reward that she's going to receive. They go far outside of the town of heaven, and she's got this little grass hut. And it said, the angel said, here is your dwelling for all eternity. And she says, oh no, she says, I can't possibly live in this. This will not do for me. How could I have some place like this? And the angel said, for all the years you've lived on earth, this is the material you sent us to build your heavenly home. Oh, this is the material that you sent us to build your heavenly home. How responsible are we for those things that are placed before us in this world? How responsible are we to live that life that Jesus gives us? How responsible are we so that the cross can be seen in and through the suffering that we encounter in our own life, always with the hope and trust in God? There is the key to living the life well in Jesus. The trust we have in God in all things that we encounter in this world, and an ability to see in us that person of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.